to everyone. Welcome to another explosive segment of your favorite prison-based podcast, Live from the Block. I'm your host, No Doubt, Ezekiel Thomas, broadcasting live from the concrete jungles of Lockdown America, where the natives are always restless, and freedom is always elusive. Glad to be back in the driver's seat after being MIA for 2 weeks, but sometimes the circumstances require that we adapt and adjust accordingly. And it reminds us, in a humble way, that our time together is not a right but a privilege that we should always take advantage of. We were discussing in our last segment remorse as a critical component of rehabilitation and as an attribute of our humanity. And I want today to get into the definitional framework of remorse and provide a working definition that we can begin our discussion around. So let's just say, for clarification purposes, that remorse is this innate capacity that we have to feel regret and to feel guilt for the wrong that we've done to another person. The opposite of remorse is indifference. It's being emotionally challenged. It's being incapable of feeling regret for having violated the respect, the dignity, or the rights of another person. One of the things that I pointed out in the last segment was that remorse is relational, okay? It is something that occurs between two people. In order to have a strong sense of empathetic awareness that transitions into remorse, then there must first be a strong social bonding process between two people. Indifference, or this interpersonal sentiment that most criminals have and that most people incarcerated experience, is really an outgrowth of a diminished social bonding process with other people. Most people who are in prison have a very low social IQ, meaning they have a very marginalized experiences as they relate to bonding well with other people. Now, this level of indifference can be described as what I pointed out in previous segments as being a people's wound, meaning this is an injury to our social instincts that has been caused by some adverse social experience where we've been betrayed, where we've been abused, or where our trust has been violated by someone that we love and respect. So remorse can be crippled, and our social intuition can be crippled by negative social experiences that we've had with other people. What is the end result? The end result is a crippled person socially who is unable to bond well with others and unable to see people as an extension of him or herself. And this disconnect that leads and becomes and evolves into emotional indifference is really the basis of the criminal mentality. It's the basis of that inability to transform a person's life from being a criminal, a hardened criminal, who sees people as an object of self-exploitation and personal advancement, to being a redeemed individual who sees people as an extension of him or herself. Unremorsefulness is a very complex emotional disposition, but it's always in some way linked to beliefs about people that originate in relationships that have been characterized by hurt, abuse, and distrust. So those who are without remorse are anti-relational. They're usually against social bonding and social institutions and restoring that person to a healthy social intuition. And restoring that person back to social chemistry between him, her, and other people will require a very extensive, systematic process of disarming that person's mind of preconceived notions, resentments, grievances, stereotypes, and negative outlooks that they may have towards other people. To become remorseful, we must first become relational. And to become relational, we must be willing to disarm our beliefs and become emotionally vulnerable long enough in a relationship to realize that our general indictments of people that have been based on past negative experiences, seeing the present moment through the eyes of past hurt, are actually unfair bias and are not universal truths. Now, in other words, what I'm saying is that we have to stop allowing the past to become our lens for seeing future possibility as it relates to relationships. But how do we stop projecting our judgments? How do we stop our stereotypes? How do we stop ourselves from always expecting bad things to happen to us, or bad things to happen because of relationships that we have with other people? How do we stop expecting to always be betrayed in relationships? Now, this seems like a very complicated question, but the answer is not really that complicated. Anti-interpersonal thinking is learned behavior. Anti-relational thinking is learned behavior. Unremorsefulness is learned behavior. And what this means is that if it's learnable, then it's changeable by being unlearned. That's how. We have to unlearn these behaviors and recognize that they are learned. You know, this callous indifference, this sense of distrust is a learned behavior. And we are dealing with, or have been dealing with this, many people have been dealing with this all of their life. But it's not congenial. You're not born with it. It's not a trait that's innate, that can be called or described a permanent attribute of your thinking. No, you're not born with it. You've learned it through social conditioning. It's erasable. It's an erasable attribute of our character that can be removed through a process of relearning. That's how you stop projecting bias. That's how you stop expecting people to betray you. That's how you no longer allow the past to become a lens for seeing future possibility, right? But the catalyst to this relearning process, which ultimately leads to remorseful thinking, is first our realizing that despite how well we think we know people based on our experiences, our knowledge is often incomplete, it's often tainted, and in of itself does not translate into being the complete portrait of what things are, right? So the first thing that we have to do is unlearn is this notion that what we have learned about people is the total story. That all of the bad things that we have seen is the only things that people are capable of. That we have reached the apex, we have reached the pinnacle, and the highest level of our knowledge regarding human motivations, regarding human darkness, and that all people fit into this very narrow profile of human behaviors that we have devised, right? Okay, so this closed-mindedness is learned thinking, and by deprogramming it, we become able to open ourselves up to social bonding possibilities that will help us learn new opinions about people. Unlearning learned hopelessness and unlearning learned helplessness is a critical phase in developing the social intuition that leads to remorseful thinking. See, it is an essential aspect of rehabilitation, but not just for rehabilitation, for social bonding period. Now, those who are incarcerated, they tend to be more severely crippled in this area than the people who are free, right? They're generally distrustful of people. They're generally distrustful of relationships and social bonding because they have been hurt by people in their life who they've loved and trusted. They see social bonding as vulnerability, as allowing someone into their comfort zone, and by proximity of that nearness, that person is able to unleash the most vile intentions into that person's life, thus crippling or injuring that person severely. So they tend to distrust social bonding. But man is a social creature. He reaches his best and highest achievements through social relationships. When his social instincts are crippled, then his ability to adapt and to adjust well in society is crippled. His ability to overcome certain adversities is also crippled. Social bonding is a natural component to human development. But our ability to feel sympathy and mercy towards others is always going to be proportionate to our sense of shared connection with them. The more socially intuitive we become,